Besiyata Dishmaya Bizat Hashem. We're here in Shaar Yichud Tzfat, and Bizat Hashem we're gonna learn a little bit on Parashat Tetzaveh. Parashat Tetzaveh, before we get into Rabbi Natan, just a little bit of an overview. It's connected to the Akamat Mishkan and the continuation of all the commandments and the beginning of the commandments of what the Kohen needs to do. There are four positive commandments in this parasha and three negative commandments. All of them have to do with either the Menorah, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, or the meat that is offered, or the Ketoret. Those are the mitzvot that we have in the parasha. And in this week's parasha, we have an interesting thing. It's the only parasha from the beginning of Sefer Shmot until the end of the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was not mentioned. Anytime Moshe is talking, so then you don't need to say Moshe said, but right? A lot of times he's talking. But in this parasha, Moshe's name is not mentioned at all. And when the golden calf, the dancing around the calf, Moshe essentially was told by God that he is going to start a new nation, and everybody's going to be a descendant of Moshe. Like you had Yaakov, so now reboot the system, and our forefather is going to be Moshe. And go on like that. And Moshe said, no, you're not taking out the Jewish people, God. If you want to take out the Jewish people, you take me out of your book as well. And we know that the Torah is called Torah Moshe. Hashem couldn't tolerate not having Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah. But the tzaddik opens his mouth and says, Machenina misifrecha. So the 20th parasha of the Torah is Parashat Tetzaveh. And Moshe's name is not mentioned at all. Sifrecha, Sefer Kaf, the 20th book, 20th parasha. Moshe's name was concealed from the parasha. But if you do the milui of Moshe, right? Mem, so you take the mem, the second mem. Shin is yud nun. Take the yud nun. You have 40 plus 10, 50 plus another nun, 100. And then the aleph of the hey, you get 101. And there are 101 psukim in this parasha. So even if Moshe's name is not mentioned, there's many, many hints to it. And there's a lot of beautiful ideas about obviously the Akamah of the Mishkan, how each one of our lives and our homes represents also this Mishkan, this Mikdash Me'at, this small holy dwelling place. We all have sinks in our house, like there was a sink in the Mishkan. And we have our clothing, we have to make sure that we keep it clean, we keep it sanctified, and there was a shulchan, there's a table, which is like the mizbeach, there's lechem apanim, the food that you eat, and the sustenance that you pull from. We all need light in our houses, menorot, right? There's so many different things that our lives connect with the Mishkan, and if we do it in the right mindset, so then also there, we can have in our homes more of that energy of the Mishkan, of a holy dwelling place for Kadosh Baruch Hu to be in our lives. So, Bezat Hashem, we're going to get into some Rabbi Natan of Breslov from the Kotei Lachot on the Parasha. A few ideas that we saw here. And Bezat Hashem, may it all be for us to be able to get better and to continue to serve Hashem, Bezat Hashem, in a deeper way, by way of the parasha. A lot of times we look and we see all these details of finer, you know, instructions and orders of how to make clothing and everything, and we think, there's no lesson to be learned here. It's just a list of ingredients and commands, and it's not really the case. You're going to see now, there's so much in even every single word of the Torah. So the first idea was, Shemen Zayit Zach Katit Lama'o. Right, you have to bring shemen zayit, virgin, extra pressed virgin olive oil, to the tzaddik, to Moshe Rabbeinu, for him to light it. Shemen zayit is the aspect of the body, and the nefesh of shichicha and zikaron, forgetfulness and memory. It says, right, in the Gemara, a person that eats too many olives causes him forgetfulness. The olive oil causes you good memory. So the trick is, by the way, in everyday life, if you eat olives a lot, so always make sure you eat your olives when they're covered in olive oil. That balances it out.
The oil makes you have good memory?
Correct. שמן יוצא מהזיתים הוא להפך, right? שזית ושמן מלובש בתוכו הם מבחינת שכחה וזיכרון ובבחינת הגוף והנפש. So, you have a zayit, you have this body, this physical fruit, right? And inside of the zayit, inside of the fruit, there is oil. So too, like our body, we have our physical body, and inside of our body, we have a neshama. Neshama, same letters as shemen, oil. So, like the olive has a body that causes forgetfulness, and oil inside of it that causes memory, so too, human beings, we have a body and a physical world that causes forgetfulness of God, and we have a soul inside of us that causes to remember God. And that's what it says in the Zohar. Ad la salik benura mevatshin legufa de la salik benehora de nishmatin. You have wood that doesn't want to set on fire, so what do? You chop it up even more. You chop it up into smaller pieces, and it'll set on fire. Same thing with your body. If you're focused too much on physicality and you're having a hard time to get aroused spiritually and to connect spiritually and to light your neshama on body on fire, so break down your body. Break down your body like a log. Meaning, break down the importance you put into this world, and that will allow you to ascend higher. It's like now we're in the times of the winter, right? Mashiva ruach u'morid ha-geshem. We pray every day, 3 times a day. Hashem, return the winds and bring down the rain. That's the prayer of the winter. What's the actual depth? By way of us being Mashiva Ruach, if we want to return spirituality, you have to be Morid HaGeshem. You have to take down physicality. If you take down your Gashmi with your physicality, you'll be able to return your Ruach, your spirituality. And the main way to make sure that the Neshama, the oil of the body, of the olive stays good, that the olive itself not only is good, the body and the oil and the fruit that it comes out of it as well is also good, is by way of the Torah. The Torah is what keeps everything flowing perfectly. Like Reb Nachman says, Likutei Moran, based on the Zohar. The Zohar says, if it wasn't for the wings of the lungs blowing air on the heart at all times, the heart would completely incinerate the whole entire body. The heat of the heart would dry up the whole entire body. Reb Nachman explains there that we all have oils that go around our body and lubricate our body and lubricate our mind. Oil inside of our body, nothing spiritual. Physically, we have all these liquids and oils that go around our body and keep everything moving properly. If our lungs didn't blow air on the heat of the heart, because of the passion of the heart, would dry up all of that lubrication. Our brain wouldn't get the oil that it needs to keep running. And you lose your mind, essentially. Right? So the Torah, aka the lungs, aka breathing properly, with right consciousness, has the ability to make sure that everything keeps on running properly. La'alot ner tamid, so you brought that oil in order to elevate a candle that had to be lit constantly. The root of the neshama was what's called the ratzon, divine will. That's where we all come from. And that's why nefesh is also very connected to ratzon. And the strength of your ratzon is like a candle that's lit. A person that has a lit candle, a love to Hashem, is burning on fire to Hashem, wants to connect. And from that, you can light all the holy candles. From that one light of a person that's fire on fire to Hashem, you can light many other candles. In order to light up luminaries and to light candles from them. And that's the aspect of the neshama that's called the ner. And the light of the ner is able to illuminate all the different dark places and valleys of death that we find ourselves in. Physicality of this world is called darkness. Even though your heart is on fire to Hashem and you have Rish Be'esh, you have these flames, these sparks shooting off from your heart, for Hashem Yitbarach, Ma'im Rabim lo yichlu lechabot et ha'ava, no crazy waters would be able to turn out that fire, extinguish that fire. But there's 7 midot. There's 7 midot inside of a person. You have them for Kedusha, and you also, God forbid, you have them for the other side. You can use these 7 traits of love, of limitation, of harmony, of mercy, of perseverance, of submission and admitting to the truth, and aligning your actions with the truth, connection to Hashem, and the ability to work and be happy and have emunah. You can use all of that on the side of holiness, but also it can be on the side of negativity, lust, anger, fear, right? A person can be attached to the wrong things and be prideful. A person can push to do the wrong thing and fall into mockery and make nonsensical things too important in their lives. And a person also can look at the vanity of this world too much, be connected to negative things, to find their pleasure in negative places, and to be lazy and depressed. All those same exact energies, it's just depends on which way you take them. And the person in this world, you're going to get tested with all of those things and all of the darkness that's involved in all of them. All seven. It's not a curse. It's just reality. We're in this world. We're here to work. And we're here to work on ourselves. And these are the facets and the areas you're going to be tested on mainly. And these are the seven aspects of... The Chachamim teach us that there's Shiva Medore Gehenom, seven chambers in Gehenom that a person has to go through.
And everyone has to go through it, no matter what or else.
100%.
In this world or the next?
It's not called the next, meaning not Olam Haba as in the world to come, but the reality of when you leave this world out of your body, the spiritual world. So then, yeah, Gehenom is part of that. You know where Gehenom is located? In which, you know how in the U.S. you have 50 states that are inside one country?
Yeah.
And then within the states you have districts and counties, and within them you have cities, right? So where is Gehenom located in Shemayim? In Gan Eden. People don't know this. And in there, there's seven other chambers, right? So everybody has to go through Gehenom because it is the cleaning up process. We all want to get cleaned up. We all want to be able to go into Gan Eden, and you can't go into Gan Eden if you still have dirt on you. Not in Gehenom. In other places, there are other places, not in Gehenom. And when a person doesn't stand in the test that they have in this world from these seven tests, right? These seven traits that we're always trying to correct. Specifically, a person that wants to start in Avodat Hashem and get better and to come over all of the tests that they're coming from the other side. So he for sure has to go through this darkness, and there's nearly no measure to it. And this is what the David HaMelech says: Sheva Yipol Tzadik, become seven times the righteous person falls, but he gets up. He gets up. That's what makes him righteous.
Can I make sure I go to the good place?
Keep listening to the class. This is the secret right here. This is the answer right here. Person's going to fall seven times. What makes a person a tzaddik? That he gets up. All the reshaim, all the people that lose and have nothing left for them in the world to come, is because they gave up in this world. They lost track of God. They gave up on God consciousness in this world. So they gave up on trying to keep God's word and to connect to Hashem. And then they end up in Gehenom and in Avadon, and they lose everything in the world to come. Why? Couldn't stand the test of this world, right? And we're not judging anybody. But this is the case. This world, you're 100% going to get tested. You're rooted in Ratzon, like we said in the beginning. Ratzon is Keter. Keter is made up of two sides. The lower side is Ratzon, is will. The higher side is Ta'anug, is pleasure. And we all came in this world to feel pleasure. What are we going to feel? Seven chambers of Gehenom in this world. If you don't want that to be a reality after this world, so all you have to do is get through the test. No, it's a test. I'm working now on my lusts to turn it into the love of Hashem, love of Torah, love of Israel, love of the people of Israel. Anytime I get tested in lust, it's really just Hashem calling out that He loves me and He wants me to love Him. Anytime I get tested with my fear, it's really just to come back with more respect to Hashem. And the more you understand this, and you're not going to beat yourself up that every time I failed on the test, I go, no, I got a little bit better. I got one punch in this time that I couldn't get a punch in before. I fought. That's also a level to celebrate. There's a lot of people out there that are not even fighting. Not only not fighting, they're enjoying all of the pleasures of the other side, and they want them more, and they chase after them. So for us to be on the side of trying to do the right thing, but struggling, that's already a blessing. We want to succeed, and we want to be tzaddikim. We want to be righteous. We want to be able to get through all of them. And that's Sheva Yipol Tzaddik Vekam. What's the Sefer Tevot of those the words? Sheva Ayin. Ipol, Lamed. Tzadik, Kuf, Vekam. Mem. Amalek. What does Amalek want you to do? Focus on the end. Focus on the fact you fell. The last thing that just happened to you was you fell. You've fallen 7 times. You keep messing up. You fall in your love, you fall in your discipline, you fall in every aspect, you fall. That's true. I have no doubt that I'm going to get up. If you lean into what Amalek says, and you only look at the downfalls, then you're going to have a doubt, which is Gematria Amalek, Safek, you're going to have a doubt in your mind, am I worthy or not to get back up? Am I desired? Does Hashem even want me to get back up? And there's no question at all. Hashem didn't create you in order to become a punching bag for the Satan. He created you and him for you to get closer to Hashem. So just take the hints, learn the Torah of the Tzaddikim, you stay connected, that your neshama always has Torah to pull from, to keep the Shemen going through, to keep the neshama alive inside the body so it doesn't get dried up by the body, it doesn't forget of God from the flesh of the olive. And then you have to keep getting up and getting through all the tests. Just keep getting up. Don't ever give up on the highest place where your soul is rooted from, which is the Ratzon to serve Hashem. The joy and the pleasure that comes out of serving Hashem and fulfilling His will and making your will His will. There, don't ever give up on that. Every single day you have to start your day with brand new strong desire and aspiration and yearning to connect to Hashem. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. You went to sleep. Chadashim lebekarim, rabba imunatecha. Every morning, brand new morning, brand new connection to Hashem, brand new emuna. And it's strong emuna in the morning. And that's why it's so important for a person to start their day with Kedusha, to start their day in Tefillah, to start the day with learning Torah, to stretch it as much as you can. Because after the head, everything goes, right? Everything follows the head. Where you look when you're walking is where your body is going to naturally walk to. Just you move your eyes. Your eyes don't have legs on them. Your body has legs all the way down there. From what you look at up here, your body starts to walk in that direction. It's the same thing. How do you start your day? You started in Kiddusha. Doesn't matter what job you go to afterwards, you're still in the mindset of Kiddusha. That job is just to fulfill everything you learned about and prayed for in the morning. Just to make the vessel for all the bracha to come down. But you already did the work in Shacharit. And then before your nighttime, you go check back in again. Mincha and Arvit, you check back in. Yep, your whole nighttime set up for you. This is the way that we always have to start over. And then when you have the Ratzon starts to illuminate through you like a candle, then it starts to illuminate all the darkness of the world, meaning all the darkness that I'm experiencing. And this is the aspect of the 7 candles of the menorah. That in all the hardships that we fall and we experience in this world, the whole purpose of all of them is to merit to get to Torah and Tefillah, that they should also be like the 7 candles of the menorah. They should also be like our face. But you can't get to that if you don't connect yourself to the true tzaddikim, which is the aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's where we had to take the olive oil to, right? Bikhu elecha shemen zayit. They should take the shemen zayit to who? To Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when did he pass away? Suda Shlishit. Ravad Ravin, Mincha of Shabbat. What is Ravad Ravin? Ritzon Shebiritzonot, the will of wills. It's all the way. Take everything back to Moshe. What does that mean? Take everything back up to that supernal place of the will. Ritzon Degushat, the will to do holy things and the right things in this world. Every single person, according to his place, according to where he fallen, according to what he's experienced. And when you do that, and you bring that Ratzon Tov, that good light, right? That light from the highest place possible, you illuminate that light into the hardships that you're experiencing, you take the person out of shmad leratzon. What does that mean? Reb Nachman has a teaching. In the 20s, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere they could say Moran in the 20s, that Moshe is gematria 345. Shmad is gematria 344. Shmad means like annihilation, holocaust, destruction. Ratzon is gematria 290 + 6 + 50 = 346.
What does shmad mean?
Shmad means annihilation, destruction. So you have destruction, annihilation, And on the higher two number, that's 344. 346 is Ratzon, is a supernal will, divine will from God, desires you, wants you, wants a connection to you, and you want him. What stands between destruction and will? Moshe. Meaning a person that doesn't have dat of Moshe, doesn't have the mindset of Moshe, doesn't have Torah in their life, most likely are tapping into the closer side of Shmad. And if you want to bring in the light of Ratzon, meaning the supernal lights that keep this world going, and to illuminate all of the places that feel like Shmad, feel like destruction, feel like this detachment, that's through Moshe Rabbeinu. Take that light of Ratzon, of the supernal will of Hashem, and illuminate all the darkest places in your world. But if you don't have a connection to Moshe, you have no way to do it. There's a step between Shmad and Ratzon. It's called Moshe.
What's the revelation between 325, 344, and 346?
344.
Yeah.
345, 346. If you want to get from one step, you go to the next, and then you get to there. 344 is Shmad, Moshe is 345, and Ratzon is 346. One more idea here that we're going to learn, Bezat Hashem, very, very important in our times. The Torah says in Shmot 28, verse 30, V'nasa Aharon et mishpat b'nei Yisrael al libo. That Aharon carried the mishpat, the laws of b'nei Yisrael on his heart. What does this mean? This is what's called the Urim and Tumim. Right? Am Yisrael needs to decide, are we going to go to war or not? They came to the Kohen Gadol, he had a breastplate, that you would ask the question, and Hashem would illuminate through the gems a light, and the answer would become clear. Right? Urim, or light, and Tumim, this is a complete, the answer, you get a complete answer out of the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. So Aharon carried the mishpat, meaning the decisions, the law, what should people do, of Bnei Yisrael on his heart. Reb Natan says, "Ikar ge'ut ve'itnasut hu b'inyan ha'mamon v'achavetzim v'ashirut shel ha'adam." The main aspects of pride, and one person seeing himself better than the other, right, or deserving of more, right, comes from a desire that people have for wealth, for objects, and for money in general. Like we see, that most people in the world, they get lost out of this world because of their lust for money. They lose their mind and they lose their stature in this world, or even whatever they built up with money, they can lose it in 2 seconds because they lust for money too much. And the main way that this happens is because of gasut and ge'ut and kavod, of being gross in the sense of wanting too much, right? Always trying to gather, always trying to have. Gluttonous, they call it, right? What is that? Right? Wanting too much. And pride and seeking out honor and respect. That every single one of those is essentially a person trying to get the level that's above them. If I want more respect, I'm not okay with the respect that I have. I'm trying to get something that's above. In order to go up, it's like pride. It's like rising, like chametz, it's machmitz. You puffed your chest out to get to that level. You weren't really there in your natural status. You had to go above and beyond to try to reach for that thing. And the gam of ge'ut, unogea be'begedim biyoter, the blemish of pride affects clothing more than anything. Clothing in their root are from a very high spiritual place. Clothing is rooted, levushim, garments are rooted in a high spiritual world, which is the aspect of Hashem malach ge'ut lavesh. Hashem, right, is a king and he wears pride. His garment is pride. Meaning Hashem embraces completely that he's the king of the world and creator of the world, right? But also that pride is only for Hashem. who can wear pride as a garment? Only Hashem. Meaning garments are rooted and connected to pride, and they come from a very lofty place that only Hashem, so to say, is allowed to wear them. When you blemish this, God forbid, by way of sins, and you fall also to pride and chasing after kavod and honor, but from the sitra acha, from the other side of lust and vanity of this world, the main time that you're going to see a person doing this, visually you'll be able to recognize that they're doing this because they have a blemish on the clothing. You see many people in this world that lose everything they have because they're chasing after clothing and jewelry. How many friends I grew up with? I grew up in the hood. They had no money, but they had chains and they had Jordans and they had, like, what's going on? How in the world? How in the world do you find it that important to buy clothing when you have nothing in your life? Because I want people to respect me. I want to feel good and I want people to like me. So they're always trying, they're essentially evoking pride, trying to get to a level of respect and honor that they don't really have. So they buy clothing they can't afford. And having money doesn't mean you can afford something, right? Always living above their means, which is essentially all of America right now. Because all of America lives off credit. Nearly everybody in America doesn't actually have the money that they spend, right? Or at least they have the money, but they can't really afford the things that they're buying. How do you have a Hyundai and a $30,000 bag? Right? It doesn't make sense. It's not meant to be that way. So the fact that it's like that shows you this person is seeking to have objects, specifically clothing, that's above their pay grade, above the level of... Not that it's honorable to have a Chanel bag or anything like that. There's no real honor in it. But in the world, in the eyes of the world, if you can afford a $20,000 bag, according to the Torah, we have to respect you more. Right? Torah says to honor rich people. God decided to bless that person with money. Clearly, God saw that it was important to give them a higher status in this world. So honor them.
When the Torah says that, it means rich as a sense of money specifically, or
yeah.
Rich as if you're happy with what
no,
you have kind of thing?
That, you should respect them even more. A person that has money, has position of power, deserves respect. Even we have this all the Gemara. Wicked, wicked, wicked kings, the Chachamim would stand up for them and say a bracha on them and act with immense awe and fear in front of the king. Not because they're scared of the king that can kill them. Because Hashem made that person a king. Hashem is the ultimate king. Respect this small little king, you get closer respecting the big king. Right? A person could be completely wicked. The Torah tells you, if Hashem gave a person a power in this world, you respect him. Right? Again, that doesn't mean you do everything they say, and it might be that you have to die before you listen to them. But respect and honor, even if they're wicked, you give it to them. So when people chase after all of this wealth, honor and respect in the form of clothing, they can lose their world. Where do we see this mainly? It's a hint, but Reb Nachman brings it, and Reb Natan brings it as well. With Yosef. Yosef, what happened? The Torah says he started, once he got rich and successful in Egypt, so he started to twirl his hair a little bit more. Right? Meaning, twirl your hair, you're focused on this world. You care how your hair looks. No kids of Yaakov Avinu ever cared how their hair looked. Yosef, all of a sudden, with the wealth of Mitzrayim, started to play with his hair. What happened right after that? Titpaseo bibigdo. Potiphar grabbed him by his clothing. Where? His clothing. It's on the clothing. And when we blemish the clothing, so then it's so to say we're tilting the court's decision, the mishpat, what's meant to play out in this world. Every single person has to make sure that they calculate their ways and their decisions and act in their houses properly with mishpat. Do not, which is a sin, one of the Ten Commandments, do not desire and seek out and lust for something that's not fitting for you. It's not yours. It's one of the Ten Commandments. You drive by, you see your friend's house. Wow, I'd love a house like that. Ten Commandments in. It's not a joke. Everything comes from that. Everything, I just want to look at the purpose. What's the purpose of everything in this creation? To give more kavod to Hashem, to give more honor back to Hashem. And to nullify my pride and my ego and my honor and respect that I'm seeking out all the time. Completely, to nullify it. And this is what it means. Yechalchel davar dvarav b'mishpat. Sustain his words with mishpat. Whoever blemishes the honor and the honor of Hashem, and the word of Hashem, so to say, so then you're making the blemish in the mishpat as well. And the Kohen Gadol, who had 8 different pieces of clothing that he would wear. After all we said about clothing, the holiest Jew in the whole entire world had 8 pieces of clothing that he had to wear. Shayu yikarim me'od, and they were extremely, extremely expensive. We gave a whole class, it's on my channel, about essentially linen and wool and the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. I forgot you're a Kohen this whole entire time. Huh? Yeah, also. So your clothing would be very expensive. You need more meters to... Right? But there was one coin in the times of the Second Temple, the Gemara tells about, that they were so rich, and the clothing of the coin had to be so nice and so pure and so light, that essentially they made for him a see-through silk garment for Yom Kippur. The rabbis didn't let him wear it, because it was not senua. You could see it right through it. But that's how fine and how much they wanted to, how precious the clothing of the Kohen Gadol was. Ve'al kulam, on top of all of those clothing that he wore, all 8 of them, choshen ve'efod, shayu bem avanim tovot yekarot me'od. You had the choshen and the efod, this apron that Shimi was talking about yesterday, right, and the breastplate that had all of these gems inside of it, and gold as well. It was extremely expensive. And Kohen Gadol nasa al kol ze libo letaken beze ta'avat u'negidut. Where did the Kohen place all of the clothing and all of that gold and all of those precious stones? On top of the heart. To show you what true honor and what true pride is, only for Hashem. All of this is to serve Hashem, it's not for my own pride, it has to go over my heart. This is the main aspect of the Choshen Mishpat, the breastplate again, that he carried over his heart, to be able to rectify the misconstrued justice, the wrong actions coming into this world. That even though the Kohen Gadol, when he went inside the chambers, inside the Kodesh Kodeshim, he had to take off all of his golden clothing and come only in white clothing. Right? That even the Kohen had, he also had precious white clothing. Even the Kohen Gadol that wore usually gold and gems and precious stones, he also had white clothing. And when he, that white clothing, the simplicity, allowed him also to wear the gold as well. Right? The heart was purified and you could have both. Even though he was so holy, even when he was wearing his golden clothing and with all those precious stones, you want to go inside Kodesh Kodeshim? Take it off. In Kodesh Kodeshim, the only thing that's prideful, the only place that's allowed to express that level of splendor is a Kadosh Baruch. Even the Kohen had to take it off. Asur gam hu likhanes ben. Ki sham itbatel ha'ashiyut v'chemdat hazav v'avanim tovot legamre. He only wore the breastplate on top of his heart in order to subdue and to rectify all of the lust that we have for money and for wealth and for honor in this world. That's why he put it on his heart. In his heart. But when you go inside Kodesh Kodeshim, automatically all of the desire and lust for money and for pride and for everything else was nullified. You can't. He barely thought about himself inside there, let alone to wear clothing that would make him think about a rock or a stone or a precious metal. Right? So he didn't need to wear it, he had to take it off. The only thing you can wear inside Kodesh Kodeshim is completely white clothing. Which, by the way, guys, we don't have a temple. We also have aspects of Kodesh Kodeshim, gold clothing and white clothing, and we are now all the Kohen Gadol of our own lives. We have to apply all of this Torah to ourselves. White clothing, so to say, is the shlemut, is the completion, is the most highest level of rectification. Levanim. At all times, your clothing should be white. One of the mitzvot that the Kohanim have to follow. And that's a hint that even the tzaddikim, the great tzaddikim that we have, that they're able to stand in front of Hashem and serve Hashem with zahav, with avanim tovot, with gold and precious gems, the beauty of this world as well. V'afal pichen, yesh gavua me'al gavua, there's levels upon levels. Even though that's the case, it's forbidden for them to go inside Kodesh Kodeshim with all of that materialism on them. You need white clothes, mamash. That's the main slicha and kapara that Am Yisrael got, was when the Kohen went in with white clothing. That's how we got forgiven. That's how we got all of our sins removed. And we removed completely any grasp that filthy clothing had on us. Filthy clothing is always klipot, right? The filthy clothing, meaning filthy from the sins that we've done, from the mindset that we had, the outcome on the actual fabric. And that's the main way to get over pride and chasing after honor that's not really ours. We can't explain everything, Rabbi Natan says. Achafetz b'chayim be'emet, yavin mizeh harbe levatel gavato lechelkel devarav b'mishvat. Last sentence, just to drill it in from Rabbi Natan, he says, whoever really truly desires life can understand a lot from what we just said. How much you need to nullify yourself completely, stop seeking out pride and money and honor and respect, and things that aren't yours and things that are above your pay grade, and physical objects like clothing and cars and jewelry and everything that's not there just to serve from getting from A to B. It's there to also make a statement. Nullify all of that and make sure that your mouth and your actions are as aligned to the truth as possible. Whoever really wants to live, Reb Natan says, will understand a lot from it. So Bezat Hashem, bracha v'atzlacha to all of Am Yisrael in this journey of nullifying our heart towards Hashem and our mind towards Hashem. It's one of the reasons we wear tefillin. And Hashem Yechud, it says outright, we wear tefillin and we put it on our head and our heart, because that's the main place that we have desire and lust for pleasure in this world. We want to subdue our mind and our heart to Hashem. We all have to do this. We all have to do this. Men, women, everybody, we all have to work on this, to reducing how much we think we need. People from that make Aliyah see this all the time. You come from America, what you thought was standard of living that you needed in America, you get here and like, I wasted that much money on that every day at Starbucks, $8, $9. These things add up, right? And yeah, it is crazy. I was just there, so I just got to... Yeah, I just got to revisit into that kind of world, but like, it's insane. It really is. And the more that we can nullify all that, our life becomes more simple. And automatically, if you're more simple, you're more godly. Those things go hand in hand. Hashem is simple, meaning not made up of many parts, not complicated. So the more simple you can make your life, the more bracha you have. And all of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol was coming to atone for all of the sins of Am Yisrael. Our clothing too, it's important that they be clean. And we try to get the clothing that represents our true goals. Clothing is very connected to Or Makif, which is our aspirations in this world, what we're yearning to be. So on one hand, right, clothing, you shouldn't wear clothing and desire clothing in order to receive respect and everything. But on the other hand, if you're trying to better yourself and wearing that clothing will make you think in a different way and act in a different way, and it might be a little bit above your pay grade, but you're not doing it in order for the respect, you're doing it in order to have policemen on your body, right, which is the case. Peot, kippah, tzitzit, especially white and black, all these things, they're meant to make you act like a better person in the world. They're meant to be able to be additional reminders, hey, I can't do everything I want. I can't say everything I want. I can't think and I can't look wherever I want. And I'm representing something that's bigger than me. Not from a side of pride, and that's not for anybody else, it's for me. All of these things that the Kohen had to wear were for himself. Right? Why did he have to wear such beautiful clothing? For him to have a constant reminder, who am I standing in front of? It was all about Hashem. Everything that's created in this world is for Hashem. We need it for the reminders, Bezat Hashem. So, Bezat Hashem, we'll go into Purim with all white clothing and we'll finish Purim with all red clothing, Bezat Hashem. Chaim, Shabbat Shalom, guys.